discretion is advised.
Live from Glasgow, Scotland, it's time for the revolution in professional wrestling radio as Robert and Kenny prepare to take you inside the ropes.
I never thought I'd hear that theme tune again, but I have because he has dared to return. He is our version of Norma Desmond. He has come out of the old house. And hopefully I don't die by the end. Hi, Robert, how are you?
It wasn't me that got small, it was the podcasts, or whatever it is Norma Desmond says. I'm good. I don't really know if I should be compared to an old Hollywood hag. But yeah, I probably should actually be compared to an old Hollywood hag. It's the most appropriate thing possible. Well, I just thought that on a day of such excitement, obviously, Chris Jericho stuns the world with his Wrestle Kingdom announcement, and then Triple H stuns Wales with his appearance at ICW. I thought, well, why not make it a trilogy? And I'll just really make David J. McCutcheon Sunday and be on an Inside the Ropes podcast. You know, the impact is getting smaller as the events of the day move forward, but nonetheless, it's been an eventful day.
It has, and also what I like about it is that David will be slightly annoyed that it's not you and him, so that makes me happier.
Well, that's coming though. We're going to do something. He couldn't do anything this weekend, so we're going to do something next weekend.
There you go. I'm just pouring a little vodka, ladies and gentlemen, while we do this, because, you know.
Do you still have the... You still drink like a 45-year-old woman? Something's never changed. Vodka and Diet Iron Brew.
Oh no, I've switched.
That is. Oh,
it's now vodka diet. It's vodka diet Pepsi because
because
the other week I had to do a drunk podcast with.
I have heard about this,
and it's so I couldn't even remember it. And I wake up the next day and somebody was like, "It was so funny when you sang China's theme tune." I was like, "What?
What was it? Round of applause for Sandra's tits or something?"
Yeah,
it's what. Mm-hmm. Well, so, you know, we've all thank you great when we're drunk. Do you remember when we were drunk in the street and we tried to interview people in the line for the garage about Roman Reigns? Did that make it onto the podcast, or did we just record it and then ditch it?
I can't remember.
Someone will remember. Tell me if that. I can't remember. I feel like because we asked. I remember we asked this drunk lady and she didn't know who he was. But she started talking about Conor McGregor.
I do remember her. I want to preface this. If you're listening to this out on the original feed, you've only got 15 minutes of it. And that's because we are that awful podcast now that say, get us on Patreon. So you get 15 minutes of Robert here, but you can get another.
I can't speak.
I'm doing exactly that. I'm monetizing.
Are you monetizing this shit?
Yeah, you have to. You have to.
You're making the people. You're putting 50% of this quality chat behind a paywall.
No, well, we're going to go 45 on this, so two thirds of it is behind a paywall. The thing is, Robert,
I'm not saying that's wrong.
You, Robert, are quality, I think, and you deserve to be appreciated for such.
Well, we'll see.
People will
speak with their wallets on that one.
I need to ask you a question.
That's a good idea.
I need to ask you a question on air, and I want to ask you this on air.
Let's get into some good stuff. If they're only getting 50 minutes, it can't be shite. We have to talk about something good.
If this does not happen before the end of the year, I want you to go onto Twitter, @Bertie_ITR, and complain to Robert directly.
Right?
I think you should be on a podcast before the end of the year with Finn Martin.
With Finn Martin. But why would? Yeah, that would. Well, that's possible now, right?
He's up for it. It's just getting you to commit to it, like getting the Rock to come back. Do you want me to?
Well, yeah, that's true. I would be into that. I'd love to chat to Finn, tell him my sad little stories about when I was like 12 and I used to siphon some dinner money every day so that I could buy Power Slam on a Friday, and then like sit at home alone reading my Power Slam. This is true. This is a true story. I used to do, that's what I did. Like I would.
We all did. Well, I mean, I didn't.
I'd get daily. I'd get daily sort of money to take to school to buy food, and I would like keep. But I wouldn't spend as much as I was given, so that I could keep some, so that I could buy things like magazines or books or whatever. And Power Slam was one of them, obviously, as a young wrestle nerd.
Now, are we going to tell the people that you just had to redo that line because your microphone broke and we had to go through Skype test calls, or are we not going to tell them?
Honestly, kayfabe is dead, brother.
Kayfabe, I think you'll find.
Kayfabe.
Why did we say that before? Why did
because
that come up?
I knew someone, well, I know someone, I don't really see them very often anymore. And
shockingly.
She said it once. I found out that she liked wrestling. We had this big, long conversation. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. And then it just came glaring into a sentence like Bigfoot. And she just said, oh, you know, kayfabe. And I was just like, what? But I didn't really want to stop the conversation because despite being an English teacher, I don't actually like saying to people, well, you said that wrong. Because, there's a lot of things in... you know, if you're into a niche subject where you maybe don't talk to a lot of people about it out loud, which I think wrestling for a lot of people might be, then you maybe didn't know how to pronounce it because you never actually had to say it out loud before. You just said it in your head. So I didn't want to judge her too much. But then I told you and you thought it was hilarious. Kayfabe! So
I just don't understand why someone thinks that's what... Like, the other day when...
Yeah, that E does not make that sound, but okay.
But like, I think it was the other day, like, Finn and I were recording the Power Slam podcast, and he was like, what about that Lio Rush? And I was like, you mean Lio Rush? And he was like, it's got an I! And I was like, no, but it's Lio with an E. And he was like, but there's an I! And I was like, I know, Finn, I can't explain the logistics of the name to you, but... And he's like, okay, and he did it again. And I've just told him.
Lio Rush.
Lio Rush, not... But now what I'm going to do...
A.K.A. David's nemesis.
Oh, he cannot stand that guy.
I know, he hates him.
What I'm going to do, actually, so we're a couple of minutes into this, we're going to talk about the big topics, but I'm going to put a thing out in our Facebook community and see if there's anything that people want to hear you talk about, Robert, because they rarely get a chance...
I know.
...to hear you wax lyrical on the graps. So I feel like we should give...
Don't call it that!
that was mainly to get to you.
Please! Don't call it
now,
that!
Are you going to, at some point, commit yourself to once a month to do something here? Are you going to ever commit to that? Because people want to know. People are asking me all the time. Will he come back? Is it, like, what's realistic?
The same issue plagues this is that I've sort of become a victim of routine, whereas if I don't... Because I have such a, like, Monday to Friday sort of... fixed thing, you know. I pretty much, my whole life is dictated by bells, kind of like the Undertaker. I'm sort of like the Undertaker. I know when I've got to appear in certain places because a bell goes.
and you put in minimal effort, but you just put in more.
Yeah, and I sort of look a bit chubby.
And your hairline's going a bit. Yeah, okay, I've got it.
Hairline's going a bit. The mascara, I really need to ditch that. and I've got really right wing over the last couple of days. So the thing is, I remember seeing this way back, is that it was about finding the right thing for us to do that made sense to the sort of family of shows that exist now. So I just need to make sure. I mean, like, Original Recipe works fine as a sort of this semi-regular thing, but that wouldn't work all the time because you would end up having to recycle too much conversation because you talk to, you know, four different people. If we'll have a conversation and stop wasting the precious third that the people are getting for free about what maybe makes the most sense for us to do. And then it becomes a thing on me where I have to be the person that cycles this into my routine so that it's... I mean, it took me long enough to actually have to get up at like 6 in the morning to go to a school. That was awful. So I need to... But now I can kind of do it. I feel like I'm allergic to routine. So I need to I need to break it in, break it into the routine, break through the cycle of just wanting to sort of collapse in a heap after a day of educating the youth, and make that make and also make it a show worth the people's time and potentially their investment through that service, which I still can't pronounce.
Patreon.
Patreon. Alberto L. Patreon. Yeah. Okay.
When are you putting something up in that Patron?
Patron, yeah. Isn't that a liqueur? So you're going to put something on the Facebook just to see if there's anything people would like us to talk about that they've not heard.
Yeah, I did start to do that on my laptop. And my laptop just does not allow me to do anything while I'm podcasting. Like, I can't, because I started to write something and then your voice just was you turned into Andre for a mere moment. which is
the WrestleMania.
So for the WWF Tag Team Championship. but let's go right out of the gate. For the free people, the cheap seats in the back, they're not cheap seats, they're just regular seats. But
backtrack.
We love you all equally. No, we don't. But
especially the ones who pay.
You won't. Well, Bobby Heenan says you won't offend me with cash. Let's talk about the big news. This morning, I woke up, and I mean, that's not the news, but I did wake up, and it was all over the internet around noon today, because New Japan...
You woke up at the crack of noon, folks, to the big news.
Which is a regularity for me. And New Japan had their Power Struggle show on. Yes, I know the name of a New Japan show, and that'll you know, stun some of you.
I actually was... just saying to myself before we recorded, I was like, I bet Kenny doesn't even know the name of the show. I was really hoping that you'd be like, and it happened at a show this morning, because I don't think, I'm not even just lagging you, I think a lot of people probably didn't know that's what the show was called. I didn't know, I had to look it up.
You can see New Japan in their return to Long Beach on March 25th at Strong Style Exposed. Suck it.
It's called what?
Strong Style Exposed. I think, please tell me that is what it is. Or
I'm not doubting you. I'm just saying that's a horrible title.
I'm good at, well, let me just, I'll Google it. New Japan
Strong Long Style Exposed.
I bet you I've got it. No, because now you've doubted me. Maybe I've got it wrong.
Exposed has a lot of connotations of, you know, improper conduct.
Here we go. So they're returning to Long Beach, and the name of the show is... Please tell me I've got it right. I'd rather it was a terrible name and I got it right. Oh, bollocks! It's not Strong Style Exposed, it's Strong Style Evolved.
That's better.
It's less rapey, isn't it?
Like, you are exposed to lethal pathogens. You shouldn't be exposed to Japanese wrestling.
But anyway, stop putting it off. We've only got another 5 minutes here.
Right, okay. It's deliberate. It's like the 10-minute preview on the Fantasy Channel.
You see one tit and then it goes off.
As soon as you're about to see a tit, it cuts to black.
But anyway, Chris Jericho, who has recently had a sort of Twitter war, in, you know, inverted commas, with Kenny Omega. Very funny, actually, when he would say, you know, you concentrate on having your star matches, I'll concentrate on making money. Omega calling him a has-been, all these back and forth. Like, a lot of people thought this was going to result in a match on the Jericho Cruise, which is...
Which is still a great sentence.
It's a great
sentence. It's great that that exists.
Mainly because I know if Robert went on that cruise, he'd turn up with like a Mickey Mouse hat with ears and a Lilo.
Man, I would love to go on a wrestling cruise. It would be hilarious.
Would you have gone in the 1997 Wrestle Vessel that the WWF used to do?
The Wrestle Vessel. Yeah, I probably would have.
How many digits did you get up, Sonny, in that Wrestle Vessel?
Oh, my goodness. I don't even think. Anyway. I was going to say, I don't have enough fingers to count.
That's horrible.
I've never been on a cruise, and I'd like to go somewhere in a fancy boat, and I'd like to go somewhere in a fancy train, like just once.
You have been cruising though. You've just not cruised.
that's a different. I was gonna drop some celebrity names in there, make some topical jokes. I'm not gonna do that. I'm not that guy. But. Yeah.
In this climate, you got to be careful.
I like to go cruising in the wide open spaces in London. Anyway.
How did that make it better? Anyway, Chris Jericho has had this war of words with Kenny Omega. Omega successfully defends the US title at Power Struggle, and he then basically says, you know, oh, you know, no challengers left, good night. And then up on the screen comes the sort of LA skyline to the sounds of Fozzy's Judas, and Chris Jericho appears... says that, you know, he's the greatest, he's the best in the world. There used to be Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, Edge, and CM Punk. He's the only one still around. And he wants to take on Kenny Omega. He's got a picture of Omega, rips it up, and says it's going to be Kenny versus Chris, Alpha versus Omega. This news has stunned the wrestling community on the internet today. Tell me how you found out, and how do you unpack this news? It's very out of left field. Not that it's happening, but it's happening at Wrestle Kingdom in Tokyo on January the 4th. So let's get this straight for everybody. I do this big setup, you know, here's the Jericho situation, what's happening, what do you think, Robert? We've only got 15 minutes for three listeners, we're 13 minutes in already. Silence. Complete silence. Then your Skype's not working, then your Skype whore woman's giving you an error message, then we can't get it sorted, and we're finally back, and we've still not talked about anything. So I think that's pretty much, we've returned to form, really.
Well, we're complete amateurs.
What? The low bar that we set ourselves back in 2012. But
we're still tripping over that bar.
Still tripping over. So, yeah, let's cut the crap. We'll keep this part in the free bit, obviously. But the Jericho thing, I don't think a lot of people were surprised that the match is happening because of all the Twitter stuff. Like, you kind of saw that it was going to be something, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Wrestle Kingdom in January is just... I was listening to Cornette this week, and I want to phrase this in with your answer. I was listening to Cornette this week describe the real definition of the word mark. Do you know what would you say the definition is of a mark from what your perspective is?
Well, it's kind of a sort of mutating expression, isn't it? Like, because in the traditional sense, the mark is the person you're trying to fool. Like, if you go back to sort of carnival speak, you know, if you're talking about trying to hoodwink someone, then you refer to the mark, the person that you're trying to bamboozle into believing whatever it is that you're selling them. And therefore, traditional sense, I guess it would be like the people that would go to the carnival to see wrestling. As long as you made them fully believe what they were seeing was real, then they were your mark. But it wasn't really about, it wasn't a sort of pejorative term originally to describe someone. It was the person, it was like the performer who said, that's the mark. Like, that's the person I'm trying to convince. But now it kind of gets thrown about as somebody who, like, takes it too seriously or thinks it's real. Or people even use it now, like, if you're just, like, a fan of... If you're, like, a huge fan of one particular type of thing, whether that's a company or a wrestler...
Or you're a WWE mark.
You're a WWE mark, or you're a Roman Reigns mark. So, you know, people just throw the term around a lot, and they don't really know what it means. From my understanding, the sort of etymology of the word, it comes from the carnival stuff, and it means that, like, the mark is the person you're trying to convince that what you're giving them is real.
So what Cornette said, and his, because he was talking about, like, you know, how he feels now going to wrestling shows, and he was saying he feels that there are sometimes more marks backstage than there are in the crowd. And he said what his definition of a mark is, or what the true definition of it is like, a mark is a fan who thinks they know everything, but really they are being fooled. So they're being fooled,
right,
but
okay,
they think they know the score. And that's, if that is the definition, I could be getting that wrong, because he did go on about it for a wee while, so please somebody listen to it and see if I've got that. But if that's true,
well,
then I'm a mark for this match. Because I thought I knew what it was going. I was like, well, they're going to have a match on a cruise, that'll be funny. And then this stuff comes out today, I'm just like, fuck. Like, I did not see this coming at all. So, with
yeah,
all that,
I think maybe what he has touched on, and I think he's right, is that maybe, like, the modern definition of a mark is somebody who is quote unquote smart to the business, but you can still fool them. Like, if you can turn someone into a mark in 2017 for something, then maybe it means you've done a really good job. So I guess that could be what he's getting at.
Yeah.
When you talk about marks backstage, though, you're talking about, like, guys that wrestle, you know, somewhere that they act like, they think the behavior codes of WWE in the 90s is how you're supposed to behave in 2017 backstage at an indie show in, you know, Scunthorpe or something. Or they really buy their own shit. So that he could be talking about that sort of thing as well, I guess.
But talk to me about the
Jericho
thing.
Don't work yourself into a shoot, brother.
What did you know going into it? Did you think from seeing the stuff on Twitter? Because unbeknownst to people, you are very active on Twitter in terms of, like, looking at stuff. So, like, even though you might not talk about it, you see stuff that's going on. So what did you think it was going to be before the announcement today?
I thought, despite laughing about it, I thought it was something to do with the cruise ship, because the idea, I didn't know what to say. I thought it was something to do with the ship.
I just love that that's a conversation we could have. I just thought it was going to be something to do with the cruise ship.
So, and it made sense to me that why would he not want to headline Chris Jericho Presents International Waters with a match as big as that? It made sense. What I think, before I forget to say this, what I love about this is the long game that not only Jericho and Kenny Omega have played, but that Jericho himself has played, because this whole New Japan is the Indies thing started years ago. Jericho's been doing this line on Twitter for years. Maybe like 4 years. I remember one of the first times I remember him talking about it was when Finn Balor was signed to WWE, and people said, you know, oh, he's a big star because he's headlined the Tokyo Dome. And Jericho right away with tweets would be like, that's the Indies, WWE is the only show in town, that's where you make the money, this is still a bigger deal than he realizes, blah, blah, blah. So Jericho's been using this language for so long that when he targets Omega, people go, oh, well, he's the latest guy to be the brunt of Jericho's sort of, I am the gatekeeper to North American wrestling shtick that he does. And he's used it so many times, you know, in his podcast online, he refers to anything non-WWE as the Indies. So when this begun, it felt like just an extension of that. And then when he was throwing the stuff about, like, I can get your push cancelled in New Japan and everything, you're like, right, okay, they're up to something. But I didn't anticipate that it would be a Wrestle Kingdom match. I think it's very, very cool. I do have lots of thoughts about the stuff that's... I've got lots of thoughts about the match, and the kind of reaction from some people as to what this means. I've been very intrigued by that. I don't know if you are also intrigued by that.
Yeah, no, I definitely am. But what we're going to do, I hate to be the bad guy, I'm going to curb our sort of like chat here in the feed out, and we're going to kind of move over to Patreon. So just kind of give us a summary thought of just the general, you know, when it happened today, it's coming out, Wrestle Kingdom Jericho. What were your initial thoughts? And then we'll sort of go over to Patreon and really expand on it, because I feel it'll take us a while.
My thoughts were is that Wrestle Kingdom it's always a great show, okay? And for people who love New Japan, or they love that sort of non-WWE-style product, then it's something to see every year. But I don't know whether I could truly say that it was must-see in the sense that it's must-see for fans of it. But I didn't know whether it was must-see for non-fans. But I think now it has become that. This one thing, this one match has put it on the event calendar bigger than it ever has been before. I think that the sort of uncertainty there, maybe we'll save this for Patreon, is that I think people need to temper their expectations a little bit about how good the match is going to be.
Yeah, I think, yeah, we'll get into all this on Patreon. What I'll just say as a kind of summary of what I thought, I think it's just really cool. Like,
And
listen, I have said from day one, I'm pretty much a WWE guy in what I watch in wrestling. That's just the kind of style of wrestling I like. Unfortunately, WWE maybe don't hit as often as I'd like them to. But I do enjoy the big New Japan matches. Like, you know, I probably watch about 4 matches a year. You know, so far this year I watched, obviously, Omega and Okada. I've watched Okada and Cody. I'm sure I've watched one with Naito as well, because I heard so many people talking about them. But, I think that regardless of what the motive is or what the outcome is that you're right. Before this, I think as well that New Japan was the show for New Japan and indie fans. And now what they've done, because Cody wasn't this level of guy, but now what they've done is they've taken all these WWE fans who are going to be like, Jericho's going there. I need to see what's going to happen. And I think that's really clever of them to sort of branch out that way. So, Yeah, so we're gonna leave you now here in the free feed. Please join us over at patreon.com/insidetheropes, where we are going to go into a mirage of topics about, and we're going to talk a lot more about the Jericho thing. So here to play us out, a song that we don't know the next time we'll hear it. It's time to break the walls down. Here's Chris Jericho. We'll see you over on Patreon.